Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Native Deodorants. For 20% off your first purchase, visit nativedeodorant.com. Use promo code GHOST during checkout. nativedeodorant.com.
Real Ghost Stories Online.
When you sign up to be an EPP, extra podcast person to Real Ghost Stories Online, you'll have access to the best ghost stories we've ever told.
The oven doors started slamming open and closed. And in places like this, oven doors take up entire walls.
Never before had I seen such clear evidence of something non-human being in a room with me.
Because it felt like somebody was here. You know, you see, I did it written in paint where you just painted.
These are stories only EPP members have access to.
I don't know why, but I just wonder if that scream isn't a family member that was there to claim their loved one.
There was like something standing there right in the threshold of the doorway, and I was paralyzed. I couldn't breathe.
It's only $5 a month when you sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com by clicking Become an EPP.
There was an old lady standing at the foot of the bed, and she said she could see details and everything. You know, it just looked like an old lady standing at the foot of the bed.
You'll get access to the best ghost stories and exclusive video content we've ever created.
I have no doubt in my mind that it was completely supernatural.
But it felt like it was in my head. Like, it didn't feel like I was hearing it. It felt like it was in my head.
Become an EPP now and help keep our show on the air. At realghoststoriesonline.com, click Become an EPP. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, what do you do when you move into an old home only to find creepy relics hidden behind the walls of the cabinetry? Today we hear the true ghost story of ghosts in the cabinets.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802, our toll-free number to call in and share your real ghost stories with us. Write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you like our program, support it. Become an extra podcast person. Get bonus episodes in exchange for that support. Brand new ones every single week delivered directly to you. Just go to ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get access to those EPP bonus episodes, all of those right there. You also get advanced episodes of our show released to you as an EPP. And you get those weeks before they go to the public and commercial free as well. So if you like listening to the show, you can start getting it commercial free and well in advance by becoming an EPP along with all the bonus stuff. Ghostpodcast.com is where you go for that, or patreon.com/realghoststories. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
Hi.
Your mic sounds really, really loud to me over here. I don't know why. I'm picking up on your mic, I think.
I don't know. Does that sound better?
There we go. Try that.
That sounds better.
There we go.
Okay.
I think there's ghosts that change the volume levels in here.
I don't think so.
That are my chair.
Your
knocks
chair.
Into them.
Yeah.
I might be doing that. I had that earlier where I was like, I could hear myself like far, far away. And I didn't know what was going on. So I think, there we go. You sound better. I'm not hearing myself on your mic now.
Yeah, and I'm not hearing you either.
So there we go. Yeah, ghosts in cabinets.
Yeah.
You ever been concerned?
No. I think that's interesting, though. This story talks about things behind the cabinets in the wall.
Mm-hmm.
That would be my concern with an old house, is finding stuff in the walls.
Like hidden secret hiding places,
mm-hmm.
that people have had and then they left something and forgot about it, or
that, or stuff left in the attic on purpose for uh-huh. whatever unknown reason.
We did that.
Like two things,
mm-hmm.
but
bar stools and
but the bar stools matched the rest of the ones that went with the house.
True. And then the cat figurine.
The pig, the lion.
We had, yeah, the lion figurine, the porcelain lion that we had two of that we antiqued or coppered or whatever you want to call it.
We put a patina on them.
And one of them broke. And we just kind of had the odd one we put up in the attic and decided we don't want to take that down when we left. It's a special gift hidden underneath lots of
the blow-in insulation.
Yeah. You'll be happy to know I was able to put a secret message in this house now, our new house, for the whoever gets this someday.
What did you do?
Well, we're building a platform upstairs in a room where we can put a projector to watch movies. Mm-hmm. And so we built the platform out of plywood over the weekend. And I wrote on the floor.
Okay, what'd you write?
The walls are watching you inside of an eye.
Nice.
An eye shape. And then I put the year and I put love, Tony Bruschi.
Okay.
On it. So my thought is they're going to get creeped out by it someday, whoever this is, and go, what the hell is, unless it's our kids that find it someday. Mm-hmm. And they're like, fucking dad. If it's somebody we don't know and they find it someday, if they ever ripped that platform up, they're like, love, Tony Bruschi.
And see, I'm terrified of finding something like that in our house at some point.
Nobody's that sadistic.
Just you.
Just me. So it's a clue. They got to play a little game of Clue to figure out what it's all about.
Yeah.
And they'll go to whatever the Google of the day is when that happens. And they'll type in Tony Bruschi. I spelled it how I spell it. And they'll find it. Mm-hmm. And like, oh, holy shit. This person did all these ghost stories. New listener that we're going to have when we're dead. It'll be great.
They're going to be freaked out that this house is haunted.
Listen to all the ghost stories connected to the weird, the walls are watching you.
Well, and you put a message in our last house too.
Yeah, like Annabelle's watching. Mm-hmm. That one's more funny. That one's more like, if you see it anytime, like, oh, those silly bastards.
Well, it's not as threatening because Harper wrote on the wall rabbit sharts because she thought that was funny. So Annabelle's watching, right next to it says rabbit sharts. So it's not threatening at all.
No, it's just not threatening.
No, but I mean, you're not going to worry like something's really watching you if some little kid wrote rabbit sharts.
No, that's true. I should write other things and other things that we do. Like, it comes to you in the shower.
No.
Things like that.
Don't do that. Someday we're going to get a different house and it's going to have all kind of cryptic messages and I'm going to be freaked the fuck out.
That's karma coming around with all the cryptic messages that I like to leave. It's fun.
No.
Good times. It's not fun. It's like playing, what's that movie where they find all the clues? Who was in it? Was it a Nicolas Cage movie?
National Treasure.
It's like National Treasure.
It is not.
It's like National Treasure in your house.
It leads to nothing.
It's the home version of National Treasure.
It is not near as cool. So no.
I think it is. What's our phone number
855.
Here? 855-853-4802. Mm-hmm. See, mine's not working well anymore. No. Well, I'm just getting used to the other number on Office Horror Stories, 833-HATE-JOB. Mm-hmm. So now that I've replaced the one phone number that my mind allows me to keep in my storage, I have like the storage of like a 1982 floppy disk. Mm-hmm. So very limited as far as
not what even I, that you're more like a speak and spell.
Yeah, that's all I got. It's like there ain't much that's gonna store there, so I got to be very careful what number I put there. So it gets them mixed up a little bit, but yeah, and then hopefully, you know, he doesn't get close to a magnet or anything, because otherwise then it's all data's gone.
Yeah.
So 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Get Real Ghost Stories online to share your real ghost stories with us. I really just have a board up here with the phone numbers on it so I can.
Oh, that there. Would be a good idea.
That would be helpful. Let's go to our first story of the day. It says, my name is Valerie Reif. I have two stories I want to tell. I'd originally done a recording, but the file was too big. So please bear with me as I write this out. I'm so grateful to have found your show a few months back, and I appreciate what you guys do because you've given people like myself a platform to share our stories without people calling us crazy. So thank you very much for that. Here's my stories. When I was 3 years old, in 1998, my mother, her boyfriend, Billy, who had become my sister's father 3 years later, and myself moved to a little house in Ohio. This house had a long driveway up to the top of the hill where the little yellow house sat. It was kind of isolated from the neighbors. The house was on the market pretty cheap, so my mom jumped on buying it because we were practically homeless at the time, and we had just moved from Florida, and we were between couches. The realtor never told my mom about any of the house's history except that the previous owner had left in the middle of the night. We soon found out why. The first events occurred, they were very small, things that could be written off as a child's imagination going wild. I had made a friend in the house, this little boy with bright red hair, freckles, who adorned a red and white striped shirt underneath his overalls. He and his mom used to live in the house. I told my mom about this little boy often, and she just thought I had an imaginary friend until I started talking about things he had told me, about how he and his mother had got hurt in the house, and other details that a 3-year-old wouldn't know. Then other strange things started happening. We'd hear a baby crying in the middle of the night, always around 2 a.m. Billy always thought it was me, so he would come rushing into my room to find me asleep. After a few weeks of this happening, he told the baby to shut the hell up and go to sleep. We didn't hear it again after that. One morning, we were all in the living room, which was attached to the kitchen, when this strange noise came from the bathroom down the hall. It sounded like a child crying. My mom went to investigate and saw a hole in the wall under our floating sink. She pulled out this old baby doll. It looked like it was from the 1800s. I remember it being wrapped in a white cloth. I wanted to keep the baby doll, but my mother wouldn't allow it. Instead, she burned it. Apparently, that was not a wise thing to do because that's when really bad things started happening. I remember being in the living room watching Scooby-Doo with my mom and a man appeared in the kitchen. He was all black, but we could see the outline of him. My mother didn't notice until I told her there was a man in the cabinets. I'll never forget the scream my mother let out when she saw him. Suddenly, all the cabinets flew open and things started flying off the shelves. We were terrified. My mom called one of her friends over who practiced in paranormal events, and she told us that there were negative entities in the house and that we needed to keep crosses up and say prayers. So we did. A few days later, my mom was in the backyard planting some veggies, and I was digging by the side door. I hit a pipe and noticed a hole, so I put my hand down into the hole. When I did, I saw a woman's face. She was pale and had black hair. She grabbed my hand, and I screamed to my mom that there was a lady in the sewer. She ran to me and grabbed me, and we went into the house. I was so shaken up, it took until Billy came home to calm me down. Later that night, my imaginary friend came to my room, but he was different this time. He seemed evil and told me he would hurt my mom. I began crying and ran to my mom's room. I jumped on the bed and told her what happened. As soon as I could spit out what I was trying to say, the wind chimes above my mom's bed started jingling like crazy. We all slept in the living room that night with all the bedroom doors closed and hung crosses on them. When we woke up the next morning, all of the cereal, sugar, coffee, and flour were dumped in the middle of our kitchen floor, and footprints leading out the door were found. My mom's first thought was I had done it, but at 3 years old, I wasn't tall enough to reach the cabinets, and there weren't any chairs for me to climb on. My mom was very upset, and she went to our local church and asked the pastor to come over. He came and blessed the house and told my mom to let him know if anything else happened. That helped for a little while. Back to the ghost stories in just a moment. First, our supporter today, I want to thank them and ask you to support them if you like them. Native Deodorant, it's good stuff. They create safe, simple, effective products that people use in their bathroom every day. Products with trusted ingredients and trusted performance, if you're not convinced. Well, how about some reviews, kids? That's what I always do when I need to find out if I should be getting a product or not. Reviews, they're out there. 9,000 five-star reviews for Native Deodorant. Yeah, it kind of says something. It's formulated without aluminum, parabens, or talc, things you probably don't want in your deodorant. It's filled with ingredients found in nature, such as coconut oil, shea butter, tapioca starch. All those things have purposes for moisture, absorbing wetness. It's all helpful, and it's all natural. They never test on animals, free shipping and returns. It's good stuff. Now, we're almost into the new year. If you're thinking about, hey, you know what? It always comes up, being healthier, making better choices. This would be one of those healthier, better choices, making a switch to an aluminum-free deodorant that's not going to make a sacrifice on performance or what it does. It's just a good thing. for you. Do it for yourself. You're going to love it. Less is more with Native as far as the ingredients. You can look at it and go, oh, okay, I get it. It's not like a bunch of questionable. We like Google everything in this and go, it says here this might not want to be something you put on your body. No, with Native, you're all good in that department. Check it out for yourself. In fact, get this. Use our promo code GHOST for 20% off your first purchase. Visit nativedeodorant.com. Use our promo code GHOST during checkout. And boom, 20% off. Just like that. How about that? 20% off your first purchase. nativedeodorant.com. Use promo code GHOST. I was outside playing one morning while my mom was in bed. She worked midnight shift at a hotel, and Billy had left for work. He worked at the glass factory. I was in the backyard when I suddenly saw a very long and very large black snake come racing toward me. I ran to the side door, but it was locked. I ran around to the front door, and it was also locked. I was screaming and trying to get away from this snake that kept chasing me. I ran to the side door again and pounded on it. Luckily, my mom had heard me screaming and woke up. She came to the door, unlocked it, and asked me what the hell I was doing outside. I jumped into her arms and told her about the snake, but it had disappeared. We closed the door, and I went to bed with my mom. The very next day, I was outside on the porch waiting for Billy to get home when a little girl with brown hair and a blue dress and white polka dots came up to me. She asked if I would help her search for her dog, and I agreed. We saw the dog in the woods a good distance from the house. We both ran after it, but all of a sudden I found myself alone. I tried to run back to my house, but I was so scared and lost, I got tangled up in a briar brush and couldn't get out. I started screaming and crying, and the little girl appeared again, but she was gone as quick as she came. I screamed for what felt like an eternity. I heard Billy's voice calling for me, so I started screaming louder, begging him to help me. He had to go back to the house to get a utility knife to cut me out of the briars. It took what felt like hours to pull me and pull the thorns out of my hair and skin. I was not allowed out of sight after that. Fine by me, I thought. But the last straw for us was when my mom had to work a double at the hotel, and Billy wouldn't be home for a few hours. My Uncle Everett came over to babysit me, and he brought a friend with him. We were all in the living room when my mom's bedroom door slammed shut. My uncle and his friend went to see what had happened. I trailed behind them even though they told me to stay put. My uncle thought someone somehow got into the house, so he pulled out his switchblade and kicked the door open. What we saw next has terrified me for the last 20 years. In the broad daylight, a demon-looking figure was hovering above my mom's bed, wearing her wedding dress. Even though I didn't understand at the time, I felt this horrible feeling in my heart, and I ran to my room and said a prayer my mom always had me say before bed, which was, "Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep." I could hear my uncle and his friends screaming at this thing that it wasn't welcome in our house. This was a house of God, and to leave us right now. He was cussing at it and telling it to leave as his friend was screaming prayers at it, or what I think were prayers. They say that it disappeared, but a dress dropped to the bed. I didn't see that part. Afterwards, my uncle scooped me up, called my mom, and told her we were on our way right that second to call Billy and tell him not to go home. Something bad had happened. When my uncle told my mom what had happened, she said that was it. We were never going back, and we didn't. We left all of our belongings, and I had to stay with my grandpa for a while until we found a house in another town. We never went back there. My next story happened when I was around 10 or 11 years old. My sister was about 6 to 7 at the time, and my mom and Billy had split up. We moved to a little town called Woodfield. We lived at the Sunshine Apartments. A few of my mom's close friends, Monty, Michelle, their 2-year-old Shana, had moved to town as well. They lived about 10 minutes away from us near this little church that worshipped snakes. Nothing weird ever happened at our apartment until Monty and Michelle moved into their new place and started visiting often. One night, Monty came over and told my mom that they had discovered their apartment had a pentagram burned into the floor under the carpet. At the time, I had no idea what that was or why it was scary. My mom told them about our experience, and that freaked them out. but things that would happen in the coming months changed my life. There was a dark spirit in the house that Monty and Michelle lived in. It became attached a little to Shanna. My mom was Shanna's godmother. So when bad things started happening, her parents felt it was a good idea for her to stay with us and followed her to our apartment. The spirit was evil. The first night Shanna stayed with us, she slept in my room with my sister and I. I happened to notice that under my sister's bed, a ball was being moved back and forth as if someone was playing with it between their hands. I called out to my mom, crying and telling her what had happened. We all went to sleep with her on the couch that night, but I ended up having a terrible nightmare about this evil spirit. I dreamed that it was in our bathroom, and that a good spirit was in there too, trying to fight it. The spirit's name was Mary. I later found out that this Mary spirit was Michelle's deceased grandmother. I woke up screaming and told my mom about my dream, and things continued to get worse in our house. This thing was pulling our legs when we slept. It would leave claw marks all over my mom, and the crosses on our walls would always be knocked on the floor when we woke up. One day, my older brother came over and started praying with my mom. Monty and Michelle were there as well. There were noises coming from the closet, and we all went over there towards it, but my brother was the one to scream at it, to show itself. It did just that. We got it recorded on a camcorder. I still have the tape. I can even send it to you guys. This thing was black and evil. It was terrifying. It came flying out of the closet at my brother. We all screamed and ran, but we didn't know exactly what had happened. All I knew was that my brother had to have gotten hurt because it came at him, and he went flying across the hallway wall. When things had calmed down, we sat there and saw that my brother had a handprint burned into his shoulder, like right above his chest. It was long, skinny fingers that looked pointy. We were all so scared. He had that burn for weeks. I was not allowed to watch the tape with them until I was older, but we had all seen it. That was the last straw for my mom. She had a priest come bless the house, and he gave us holy water and gave us some Bible verses to recite around the house to continue the blessing. He also told us to put crosses on every window and door and give us some salt to put on the doorways and windows. After that, Shanna would not come back into our house. She would try, but it was like a force field. It was insane. My mom kept asking Shanna why she wouldn't come into the house with us, and she said, "Nah, him won't let me." At this point, the priest had already left, and my mom was so scared. But apparently she had an idea, because what I saw next, I still to this day am shaken by. We all saw it happen, so I know it wasn't my imagination. Monty, Michelle, my brother, Monty's friend Josh, and myself all saw this. My mom told Shanna, "Tell it to go into the duck, baby." We had one of those decorative ducks that you dress for different seasons right by the door in the patio. And when my mom told Shanna to tell it to go into the duck, this fucking thing, excuse the cussing, but this fucking thing walked down the fucking sidewalk. We're all just in shock and terrified. But after that goddamn duck walked away, Shanna was able to come into the house. We continued to live in apartments until we got moved into another unit down in another complex. My mom, sister, and I were scared of that apartment, so we requested a move. A few months later, they renovated the apartment and a new couple moved in. They were very kind people, but they were like goth enthusiasts and into dark magic and things of that nature. One day, the woman came to my mom asking her what happened in that apartment, and she knew we used to live there and everyone knew what was happening at the time. The woman was frightened because things were happening that she couldn't explain. My mom told her everything. She was totally honest about it and told her what she needed to do because my mom was afraid that it would latch onto her baby like it did Shanna. The couple moved away shortly after that, so I don't know what happened to them. Another family moved in after them, but we didn't live there long enough afterward to find out if they went through the same thing as we did as we moved to another state. I hope they never had to experience that. I'm 23 years old now and still have my gift. I work midnight shift at a coal mine in Pennsylvania and often see shadow people. They don't feel harmful and I don't feel afraid at work. But with all the things I've experienced with the paranormal, it does still make me a little uneasy when I'm alone. I often see them just walking by, or sometimes it looks as if they're trying to do a job of some sort. I'm fine with them doing this their thing as long as they leave me alone. I apologize for this being so long, but this is really the first time I've ever shared my story with anyone. Thanks for listening, and thanks for doing what you guys do. You rock.
I don't feel like those two instances are related, because, you know, normally when you have two really, really intense experiences, they're somehow tied together. I think this is just bad luck in two different places.
Yeah.
Don't you?
I do. It seems not, I don't want to say haunted life or anything like that, because things, well, I mean, they do still kind of have something, but it seems different.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe there's a sensitivity level there.
Yeah.
That they have that's higher than others. But I don't want to say it's something where it's like the entities are following.
That's what I mean. Yeah. I don't think it's the same entity following.
Yeah. And plaguing in that sort of a way. But I do have to say, that was a great story.
That was. Both of them.
Yeah. That, I think that goes into the top 20.
Yeah.
I really, every once in a while you start getting into a story and it's just like, this is a good one. I mean, all of our stories we get are good, but there are some where it's like, that's, it just pulls you in.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one to me that really pulled me in. And I can guarantee a year from now, I'm going to be going, what show was that on?
You should flag it or write it down somewhere.
No, I'll lose it. I lose things. That's where I have to ask the audience. I have to make requests.
Mm.
Go, where was this story?
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll tell me. But there's several like that. There's one that we had way back about a nursing home facility and a fire. And that's mm-hmm. all I remember. But it was a great story.
That was like in the first couple of months that we were doing the show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't tell you what it was or where it was, but it was a great story.
Yeah.
There are so many interesting ones like that. But I do need to find a way to flag these so I remember where they are. But that was good. Thank you for sharing that. It gave me some ideas, too,
yeah.
As far as I shouldn't just do shit where I'm writing weird messages on floorboards. Dolls.
Dolls. Like yeah. Sticking dolls in walls?
Yeah, dolls in walls.
It's messed up.
Or in that little platform that I built. I could probably unscrew one of the platforms because the carpet hasn't gone on it yet. Harper doesn't like baby dolls. She's got plenty that she'd be willing to part with to freak somebody out someday.
Don't do it.
Oh my God, if I told her this idea, she'd be like, yes, Daddy, let's do it. She's like, can I draw blood on it? She'd have something like that. She'd want to totally do this.
Don't.
It'd be a great father-daughter bonding experience.
You
hiding
guys are so weird.
Remember that time, Dad, we made a baby doll look really scary and demonic and hid it in a floorboard?
That's terrible.
Who doesn't have that sort of memory with their daughter?
Mm-hmm.
That's totally.
Well, if you're going to do that, why not just go get one of the fake skeletons that's still out because Halloween's over and put it under there?
That seems too obvious. You got to do something that's like, you know, kind of understated, where it's like, is this something that brings joy to people? But when you put it in a really strange setting, it gets creepy.
Okay.
That's, you know.
I just think the startle factor of you raise the board and there's a skeleton under there would be hilarious.
That would be too. But you have to get like, you don't want to, you want to go, if you do that, you have to go with like a really good one that people are going to, it'll take them a moment to realize it's not. It can't be plastic because they're like, oh, it's plastic. You got to go with something that could be mistaken for possibly bone.
You don't want them to have to call the cops.
The cops come out. This was plaster. It's porcelain. You know, I don't care what they do at that point. I'll probably be dead. I just want to scare somebody from beyond the grave and just set it up now. You're looking at me like I'm crazy.
Yeah.
What's wrong with this?
Oh, nothing.
You don't find any joy in this concept of freaking out people?
I don't, because I would be terrified if somebody did that to me.
They're probably not even born yet who are going to freak out if we did this.
Yeah, that's true.
So you can't feel bad. They don't exist right now. Someday.
It's still wrong.
855-853-4802. Is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. And if you're the person listening to this episode right now going, holy fuck, we found the episode where they talked about the shit they hid in our house. Hi.
That's funny.
We're watching. Let's go to a caller. Hi.
Hi, Tony, Jenny, and Carol. I'm calling from Michigan. So I have called before. I kind of told you guys a bit about how I'd been experiencing what I now can call hypnagogic hallucination. And I'm calling because recently they've gotten more extreme, and until recently I did not know what to call them. My whole life I've experienced extreme hallucinations while I'm sleeping, though it feels like I'm very awake, and that is actually something that I learned when I was researching it just a bit ago. That is very normal. So I hear a lot about sleep paralysis on your guys' show, and I always could empathize with it in a lot of ways, but the one difference of what I experience is I feel completely awake. I know with sleep paralysis, you're paralyzed. At least I think most of the time you are, and that's definitely not how I feel. I feel like just exactly like I do when I'm awake. So it's extremely real. I'm not saying what people experience with sleep paralysis doesn't feel that way, because it sounds terrifying. But these that I'm having are really starting to freak me out. So long story short, my whole life I've been very afraid of the dark, of the nighttime. For some reason, I can't even put my finger on it. As soon as the sun sets, I just have always had an uneasy feeling. I don't like being alone. And any time I've ever slept in a different place, I don't sleep until the sun comes up, and then I feel comforted. I've just always had an uneasy feeling at night. So the fact that I'm dealing with these things, but I'll give you guys a couple different situations, are really disturbing. I'm a huge scaredy cat, and I've never experienced anything while I'm, you know, in the daytime awake. So my mom has also always dealt with these things too. So a couple things that I had read about these hypnagogic hallucinations, actually sleep paralysis technically falls under these. Apparently they're associated with narcolepsy, insomnia, schizophrenia, and in cases where people don't have those disorders, doctors can't figure out why people have these hallucinations. Obviously, stress could be a contributor, and all my life I've thought that it was stress, and that's what everyone has always told me, so I've never looked too deep into it. So, and I know stress can do crazy things to your mind, and I know how powerful the mind is, so I don't discount that in any way. So the number one common thing that I've dealt with my whole life is I've always, especially as I'm starting to doze off, seen spiders everywhere, visibly and like very detailed. And that one, to me, it makes sense that that would be stress. I've read that it's a common one for the hypnagogic hallucination. So I kind of always discounted that as everyone's afraid of spiders, and that would be something that your mind creates as you're falling asleep. So I deal with that probably once a week. I'll wake up, either slap the wall thinking I killed something or be batting in the air, and it's gotten so common that I don't think anything of it. So that one, I know that could be my mind. So there's definitely been some odd ones. When I lived at a previous apartment, and I had called in about this one maybe a year or two ago, I have never visually seen people, but almost, I guess you could say, through your third eye, I feel that they're there. I know they're there. I know what they look like. And the also distinctive thing about these hallucinations I have are I don't abruptly wake up to anything. It's almost like the subtle, I knew something was there, I knew something was coming, I'm not scared really, and I just gently wake up and I see whatever in the situation I see. With sleepwalking, I know you're not supposed to wake people. It could startle them. All my life, people have tried to wake me, and it doesn't faze me because I just continuously say, no, there is something there. I'm wide awake, and I just go back to sleep knowing this was real. So, again, at the apartment that I used to live at, there was two different scenarios where one, I woke up and sat up and I was squinting across the room as if I saw something, and I just pointed for a good couple minutes until my husband noticed that I had been sitting up for a while and asked me what was wrong. And I did that for another probably 30 seconds until I just laid back down, and he said that my eyes were open. So I was still awake, and I remember processing this the next morning thinking, huh, what was that? I was completely awake. I remember every detail, and it was like it was just knowledge that I knew. It didn't even occur to me to second guess anything. Another time at the apartment, I was talking to someone next to my bed. Again, I knew it was a woman, and we were just having a casual conversation. So it's like I'm seeing things without seeing them. So there has been so many situations over the past decade that I can recall that are just scary, but it's getting a little bit scarier. Okay, keep this a little bit shorter, but recently, and the reason that I'm calling in right now, about a week ago, I woke up again. I remember being relaxed. I heard something, and I've never had a hallucination, like an auditory hallucination before. So I remember just looking outside of our doorway. There's always the hallway light on, and I heard what sounded like someone cutting hair, and it was loud and clear. And the weird part is we sleep with a fan on, so I wouldn't have technically been able to hear that. And I sat there for a couple minutes listening to it, and then I know exactly what was outside the door by not even seeing it, and I know that sounds weird. Maybe I was dreaming, but this was so real. I knew it was a woman cutting her hair, and again, like always, I'm never really scared when I have these hallucinations. I'm usually pretty calm and just with it and paying attention, and I can't stress enough how real it is. So I heard her cutting her hair, and the fan in our room all of a sudden blew a huge chunk of her hair, and I watched it so vividly blow across the room. And we have a blanket hanging over our window, which is at my side of the bed, and it clung to the blanket. And it was just blowing there for at least a minute, and I was sitting there watching it, asking myself, is this really happening? I was frozen in fear, though, at this point, because I was questioning, I have to be sleeping, I have to be dreaming, and I've watched it, and now that I'm thinking about it, why didn't I try to grab it, why didn't I try to touch it, just to confirm that it was real? But at that point, I had never seen something besides bugs visually, so this really, it ended up freaking me out once I realized that I was actually seeing something new. So I did wake up my husband, and I asked him if he saw it, and of course he didn't. And that's it. I mean, the past couple days, I've seen different, like, things flying through the air, like, and they're not, the thing is it's usually spiders or bugs, and I can't even describe what I'm seeing flying through the air. So I guess my question to you guys is this just the mind and what it's capable of? Is this just stress? To me, I always said, no, this isn't as serious as sleep paralysis. I know how serious that is. But after researching it, I saw that it's similar in ways. The hallucinations are the same as what the hallucinations that people in sleep paralysis have, but the difference is I'm not paralyzed. So it's starting to make me wonder, have I just been discounting that it could be something more?
You know, I think maybe it's a combination of things. I think it could be reoccurring sleep paralysis, but made worse by stress.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything seems to be made worse by stress, and whether or not there's more to it than the medical diagnosis of sleep paralysis, which I believe she has. And of course, I'm not a doctor, but I'm going by what she said. You know, I don't know. I don't know if because it's a different instance that it's something else going on than what she normally sees.
It's an interesting look at the possibilities of it not being something paranormal, but it's sure being freaky.
Yeah.
But truly examining all of the things that could this could be mm-hmm. that could be causing this, and not necessarily the dead.
Yeah.
It's a very interesting, in-depth look at it, and good for her for trying to dig into this mm-hmm. as much as she can before just going, it's ghosts.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, a lot of cases that can be. And it can be very troublesome and very, you know, bothering to have this happen. Do you ever have the spider thing or where you think you see? I've never seen shadow people. I've seen shadow bugs.
Shadow bugs.
Shadow bugs.
I don't know. I know sometimes if I gone too long between blinking or I'm excessively tired or something, I see those little floater things mm-hmm. that go in, you know, in your eyes. That's probably the closest I've ever seen to like phantom bugs or something.
I've never seen it like in daylight or anything like that, but I've had it like where the lights are out at night. Maybe there's just like a dim light from the bathroom or something on, so you can kind of, you know, make out the outline of the room enough to get up and know where you're going. But I've had that where I've got woken up in the middle of the night. It's usually right after a dream mm-hmm. where maybe there was a spider or something in the dream. And then I look down at the bed and I see the outline of a spider, just this dark.
Yeah.
Walking up towards me. And that's freaked me out before.
Is it just like, you know, when you stare at something too long and you close your eyes, you can still see it?
It's like that, but it's animated. I mean, it's like it's going on.
Ugh.
So, I mean, I think that might be kind of a cross between sleep paralysis and your mind waking up, because it's usually somewhat connected to what I was just dreaming about, that it's there. But it's very a clear outline, and it's very much like how people describe shadow people, where it's like it's the darkest of dark. It's just like a void that is there, but it's in the shape of something and it's moving. It's not clear enough to go, oh, that's a wolf spider, or, you know, where you can pick out colors or something on it. It's just like there. And I've had it where I thought, oh, my God, I've slapped the blanket. I've kicked the blankets off the bed or my area before, thinking it was something. It's very much it's almost kind of like the feeling you get to, like sometimes if you ever kind of wake up and you're kind of like kicking at something because you feel like you're falling.
Uh-huh.
It's that kind of reactionary moment where you're like halfway awake and you're suddenly having to react to something that you think is there, but it's not. And then you realize there's no spider, but it's clear as day for a moment or two. It's freaky.
I'm glad I haven't had that, knock on wood.
Shadow spiders.
Ugh.
Just wait.
I think that'd be almost worse than shadow people.
Shadow spiders?
Or shadow snakes.
I don't know if I've had a snake before. I know I've dreamt there's like been a snake. And then I woke up like, you know,
mm-hmm.
I've had it where I've jumped out of bed thinking there was something there. I don't know. I think that's anxiety or something, but it was, and I don't attribute it to anything paranormal. I attribute it to, you know, kind of what she was talking about.
Sure.
So there you go. It is freaky. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person and EPP. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories to keep us on the air and get all of the bonus content. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.